Blessing Zulu and Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, September 19, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe sends a team of officials to Belgium to try and recover about 500,000 carats of rough diamonds worth $45 million that were seized in Antwerp following an attachment order obtained by a South African-based company.
I think the implications are essentially the negative impact that it has on confidence within the economy. I think what it does is that it affects the confidence, and it also affects even investor sentiment. It also affects business sentiment.
The MDCT National Council resolves that all office bearers of the party should be elected at Congress, dumping a proposal that leader Morgan Tsvangirai be empowered to handpick officials of his choice to occupy leadership positions.
And the largest business women's conference in Zimbabwe is convened in Harare today, with speakers talking about the importance of women taking the lead in business on the continent.
Zimbabwe has sent a team of officials to Belgium to try and recover about 500,000 carats of rough diamonds worth $45 million that were seized in Antwerp on September 12 following an attachment order obtained by South African-based Amari Platinum Holdings. The order enforced a ruling in a Paris-based court of arbitration against the Zimbabwe government. The dispute stems from Amari's departure from Zimbabwe in 2010 when then-Mines Minister Obed Mpofu cancelled its right to operate its Serui Platinum concession on the Great Dyke, a range of hills that runs down the center of the country, after the company had spent millions of dollars exploring and identifying an economically viable resource of 18 million ounces of platinum group metal.
The International Court of Arbitration Court ruled in favor of Amari in its $500 million lawsuit. Economists are warning that Zimbabwe's assets will continue to be seized as a result. Mpofu refused to comment and referred all questions to Mines Minister Walter Chidakwa, who was not picking up his mobile phone. Deputy Mines Minister Fred Moyo said they have sent a team to Belgium, but he referred all questions to Mines Permanent Secretary Francis Ngunjanga, who was said to be in a meeting. Economist Prof. Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the seizing of diamonds is a disaster for Zimbabwe.
I think the implications are essentially the negative impact that it has on confidence within the economy. I think what it does is that it affects the confidence, and it also affects even investor sentiment. It also affects business sentiment in the economy. And it worsens the wars, the economic wars of the government. So it doesn't really augur well in terms of efforts by government to recover the economy.
We also understand that Zimra has garnished $10 million from Marange Diamond Company. What is happening in the diamond sector?
I think what is happening in that sector is not very, very, very clear. I think there's a lot of opacity in terms of activities, in terms of operations, in terms of the revenues, in terms of how much government is receiving through tax revenues.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The MDCT National Council today resolved that all office bearers of the party should be elected at Congress, as opposed to proposals by some in the opposition movement that their leader Morgan Tsvangirai be empowered to handpick officials of his choice to occupy leadership positions. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Addressing a news conference following the meeting, the opposition party spokesperson Douglas Monzora said the National Council rejected proposals by some in the party for Mr. Tsvangirai to appoint people to senior positions in the party without being elected. Mwanzora said all office bearers would be elected at a three-day congress set to be held in Harare from the 29th of October.
The qualification of entry into the National Standing Committee is going to be by election, including the president himself. He is going to be elected. The other 14 members, to make 15, are going to be elected. So there is absolutely no question of the president handpicking anyone. This was coming from the press, because the press was speculating about what these amendments are going to contain.
Some critics were opposing the idea of introducing a constitutional amendment that would allow Tsvangirai to cherry-pick officials, saying this would be against the democratic principles that they say their party was founded on in 1999. Mwanzora also announced that his party's supreme decision-making body between congresses has resolved to water down the powers of the Secretary-General. Previous General Secretaries of the party, Walshman Ncube and Tendai Biti, both used their constitutional powers to hold meetings that eventually led to the party fragmenting.
The Secretary General is going to report to the President, the National Standing Committee, and the National Executive. He is also going to convene certain meetings under the authority of the President. In other words, for example, if there is need to convene the National Council, for example, the President and the Secretary General discuss that issue, and the President authorizes the convening of key meetings.
He added that the National Council also rejected a proposal for the party to have two vice presidents, saying this did not add any value to the Labour-backed opposition party.
Because the MDC is of the belief that two vice presidents are totally, totally unnecessary. The second vice president is simply there. In our respectful view, it's a waste of national resources.
Meanwhile, provincial congresses of the opposition party are set to begin tomorrow, starting with Harare and Chitungwiza. The provincial congresses, according to Mwanzora, will nominate people to positions that they will contest for at the October Congress. In the event that an official is nominated to contest for more than one position, the individual concerned will have the right to choose the position that he or she wants to contest for. The MDCT's Congress, that was due in 2016, was brought forward to next month after BT and others announced Mr. Tsvangirai was no longer their leader. BT claims his MDC renewal team is the authentic MDC, and there have been claims and counterclaims as to who is in control of the party structures. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, it's now official. Former MDCT official Gordon Moyo is now a member of the MDC renewal team. The Makokoba legislator was introduced by party officials in Bulawayo today. Several other members were unveiled, including former Bulawayo City Mayor Thabo Moyo, George Mkwananzi, and Cornelius Mobaiwa. Gordon Moyo resigned his position a few months ago as MDCT chairman for Bulawayo, citing lack of leadership and a culture of violence. And his unveiling today was a long-anticipated formality. VOA reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached renewal team chairman Samuel Sipepa Nkomo, who says his party is growing stronger by the day.
I want to say that in the renewal, because we are happy there is no violence, the people that I've mentioned detest the violence very much. And I am satisfied that we have added a lot of value. Dr. Gordon Moyo has been assigned as chair of the Committee on the Diaspora and the International Relations. We know he's good at that. And so we are going to be assigning former Mayor Thabo Moyo. In the renewal, when you come, you are assigned a responsibility. There's nobody who comes just to do nothing. And then the renewal team, we don't fight for position. We actually make sure that if somebody is fitted, where you would best work.
How much traction would you say you have gained in Bulawayo so far?
I can tell you the meeting today will go down in history, and we are still working. We haven't stopped working. Bulawayo is renewal. Renewal is Bulawayo.
MDC Renewal Chairman Samuel Sipebankomo in Bulawayo.
Permanent Secretary Virginia Mabiza of the Justice Ministry drew a shocker today when she announced a constitutional amendment bill will soon be introduced in Parliament. Zimbabweans have been expecting the government to move with speed and align the country's laws with the new constitution and not an amendment of the new constitution altogether. Mabiza made the remarks at the Judicial Services Commission stakeholder engagement workshop in Harare. Lawyers who attended the workshop told Studio 7 that they were taken aback by the remarks. ZANU-PF, with a clear two-thirds majority, can amend the constitution without a problem. Efforts to get a comment from Mabiza were futile, but Deputy Justice Minister Fortune Chasi told Parliament yesterday that they might be needed to reintroduce a clause in the new constitution to empower the president to officially open all parliamentary sittings. Lawyer and MDCT MP Jesse Majome tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that amending the constitution will be a disaster.
You know what? I'm absolutely shocked. I'm horrified, in fact. I don't believe this. I don't believe that a government that is serious can actually contemplate amending a constitution that it has not implemented. Surely, the government must implement the constitution. It's nearly 1.5 years since it came into effect. And maybe only about 20% of the constitution has been implemented as yet. It's only those basic functions that relate to the operation of the existence of the legislature, the executive and the judiciary. And, you know, and that hasn't been done at all. So I'm wondering, what are they doing? Is there nothing to do? If they don't, surely, you know, they are required to implement the constitution. Amending it is not what, I don't see what that will help. That will not. I really don't see a problem about lack of people-centeredness.
What is the way forward?
I think what government should do is actually that must realize that this constitution is a constitution of the people. They must remember that. And the only missing link is their commitment. They need to get the political will to implement this thing. It's not being centered in the people because the executive arm of government is refusing to do that.
That was lawyer and MDCT MP JC Majome speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The National Vendors Union Zimbabwe today partnered with the Transparency International Zimbabwe, the Chitungwiza Residence Trust and Combined Harare Residents Association in condemning corruption in the country and harassment of vendors by local authorities. The organizations agreed at a meeting held in Chitungwiza that ways to curb corruption within local authorities should be found to avoid the total destruction of councils. National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Watsai says the meeting was successful in trying to seek ways to deal with corruption and assisting his association. Chitungwiza Resident Trust Director Marvel Laskumalo says they had invited Chitungwiza and Harare mayors, but they both failed to attend, saying they were committed elsewhere.
The issue that was the topic was that of curbing corruption in local governance. And the residents, as well as the other stakeholders, including vendors themselves, had an opportunity to interact with their representatives in as far as the fight against corruption is concerned.
Did you involve the local authorities?
Yes, we had invited His Worship, the Mayor, Councillor Sumit Muchoti, but because we had to change dates from last week to this week, he advised us that he was still in Mutare attending some official meetings there, so we couldn't get any representatives. We feel that if the council is sincere with its promises, it promised to work with the stakeholders, mostly residents. And as we speak on Tuesday, we have just received an invitation to an all-stakeholders meeting for Chitungwiza to look at the problems that are bedeviling the town, to address other issues. So we feel that if they are sincere, they will definitely have a buy-in in terms of what we have agreed to do.
That was Chitungwiza Residence Trust Director Marvelous Kumalo in Chitungwiza.
Deputy South African Immigration Director J.K. McKay has urged Zimbabweans to start filing worker, business and student permit applications October 1st in order to regularize their status in the country. McKay announced today that the 295,000 Zimbabweans based in the nation who obtained permits under the dispensation for Zimbabwe project in 2009 should start compiling the required documents in order for the Immigration Department to have a smooth rollout of the new Zimbabwean Special Dispensation Permit or ZSP program. He said applicants are required to have a valid Zimbabwean passport, evidence of employment, business or accredited study, and a clear criminal record. Applications close on December 31st, 2014.
The applicants will be required to apply through a website authorized by the Department of Home Affairs and then pay 800 rands for obtaining the necessary permits. Out of 295,000 Zimbabweans who applied in 2009 for the permits under the Dispensation for Zimbabwe project, just over 245,000 permits were issued, with the balance being denied due to lack of passports or non-fulfillment of other requirements. These permits begin expiring on December the 31st, 2014. The ZSP will allow permit holders to live, work, conduct business, and study in South Africa for the duration of the permit, which is valid until December 31st, 2017.
Zimbabwean Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Youth Fellow Abigail Muleya today spoke at a USAID Frontiers Development Conference that was addressed by President Jakaya Kikwete of Tanzania and Graca Machel, among others. Tatenda Gumbo is attending the meeting. Hi, Tatenda.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Can you set the scene for us and tell us what's going on?
Well, right now, President Kikwete just finished speaking, where he was basically giving everyone in the room an update of what's happening in Tanzania in regards to their developmental successes. He spoke on some of the changes that have happened in the past decade in his country, mainly focusing on the issue of eradicating poverty, which has basically been the focus of this Frontiers and Development Forum.
Yes, would you tell us what exactly is this all about? Because we understand there are more fellows, but how come we have Abigail Muleya? Why is she there?
Well, you know, this program itself was basically looking at the Millennium Development Goals, but post 2015, to figure out what will be the next aim and also what is extremely important in regards to USAID and its partners worldwide. So speaking on Abigail Muleya, of course, she was a Mandela fellow, but she was here speaking on a panel where she spoke about targeting the needs of women and girls in programming to end poverty. She was focusing on her work in Binga, where she has been working with women and girls to empower them. And the panel itself was talking about how different sectors in their own right are working to empower women and girls to eradicate poverty.
Yes, and we understand Graca Machel was also among one of the speakers. Is there anything of importance she said?
Well, Graca Machel did point out some very important things when she spoke during her portion of the panel. I think one of the main things was her focus on the idea that if you break the cycle and you focus and leave no girl behind, that you are able to start the basic tenets to eradicate poverty. One of her main points where she said everyone on the panel has had a journey themselves, but she was saying that all rural girls and women can achieve what everyone on the panel themselves have achieved. She was saying that if families and communities are strategic in making sure that their girl child is kept in school and goes to school, that already gives them a step forward in becoming the women that some of the panelists themselves have become today.
Thanks a lot, Tenda. Have yourself a lovely day. Our reporter, Tatenda Gumbo, who is attending a meeting of the USAID Frontiers Development Conference that was, of course, addressed by President Jakaya Kikwete of Tanzania and Graca Machel, the widow of the late Nelson Mandela.
You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington.
Now we take a look at world and regional news.
An Ebola education team in southeastern Guinea was found dead on yesterday as the United Nations Security Council declared the virus a threat to international peace and security. Guinean officials say the group of seven local health workers and journalists had been killed in cold blood by villagers in the southeastern town of Women after disappearing 2 days ago.
Scotland voted to reject independence from the United Kingdom, keeping its 307-year union with Britain intact in a historic independence referendum.
And the United Nations chief Ban Ki-moon is demanding an end to attacks on UN peacekeepers in northern Mali after a bomb blast killed 5 peacekeepers yesterday. In a statement, the Secretary General said he is outraged by the roadside bomb attack in the Kadal region that killed 5 Chadian peacekeepers and injured 3 other soldiers. A similar attack in the same area killed 4 UN peacekeepers earlier this month.
Fletcher Dulini Ncube of the MDC formation led by Professor Welshman Ncube, who died in Bulawayo last week, is expected to be laid to rest tomorrow. Party spokesman Nhlanhla Dube tells Studio 7 thousands are expected to attend a memorial service at the Brethren in Christ Church in the city before proceeding for the funeral at Athlone Cemetery. Dube said the MDC Standing Committee resolved not to seek a hero status for Dulini Ncube from the ZANU-PF Politburo, as they already consider him a national hero for fighting against oppression before and after independence in 1980. The late former ZAPU-CADR, who was arrested in 2002 for allegedly killing war veteran Cain Kala, was acquitted but lost his eye, claiming that he was denied medication for diabetes while under police custody. Dube tells Studio 7 the late MDC chairman of the Council of Elders died a national hero.
The party's leadership believed solidly and was an equivocal that Comrade Dulini is indeed a hero of Zimbabwe. If you look at his contribution pre-independence and if you look at his contribution post-independence, he contributed to the liberation of Zimbabwe. He contributed to the fight for the democratization of Zimbabwe. And in our view, he's an absolute patriot and the hero of the nation. But we went further and said that as long as heroism means that the MDC has to go on bended knee to ZANU-PF, then as such would never happen. We declared that a hero is declared by his works. A hero is declared by his peers. A hero is declared by that which he did in contribution to his nation, and would never ever write to Jongwe House, would never pick up the phone and phone Jongwe House to ask them to declare a true patriot a hero. If they didn't see it fitting within their priority, then they can keep it. We would respect all Zimbabwean heroes, but would not respect ZANU-PF rules around the hero.
That was spokesman Nhlanhla Dube of the MDC formation led by Welshman Ncube speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
Hi, my name is Divine Ntlukula, Managing Director of Securico. I'm asking you to listen to the Women's Forum tomorrow by Mavela Nhlanga Nyawuye. We hope that you will get to know what is happening with the women in business in Zimbabwe.
The largest business women's conference in Zimbabwe was convened in Harare today, with speaker after speaker talking about the critical importance of women taking the lead in business on the continent. Top women executives like Continental banker Pindi Nyandoro, who Standard Bank CEO for Southern and Central Africa region, construction mogul Ncube and managing director of the second largest security company in Zimbabwe, Securitas. Divine Ndlovula addressed the Women and Enterprise Conference with 250 rural and urban business women in attendance. Deputy Minister for Industry and Commerce, Iris Chiratizo Mabuwa, said business women in the country can do a lot to contribute to Zima said. Mavelas Mtlanganyawiye spoke with Ndlovula, who is also the Deputy President of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, about the meeting.
The meeting today, Mavelas, for Women in Enterprise Conference and Awards was being held at the Rainbow Towers in Harare. We had about 250 women that attended the conference. The conference is aimed at helping women to scale up their businesses. We know that a lot of women operate some businesses, of course, small micro enterprises, but we want them to grow, to create a real world like the men. And we had a lot of subjects that we talked about that were talking to issues that will help women to scale up, talk about alternative sources of funding so that they just don't cry for bank loans, which are expensive, which they hardly get. We also talked about ICT as a vehicle for them to be able to reach out to more markets. We also talked about issues surrounding agriculture and value addition, as a lot of women produce primary products, and we want them to value it so that they can create more money. They can unlock value out of the products that they produce.
What was the theme of today's conference?
The theme, Marvelous, was mentorship today, cutting edge leadership tomorrow, because we have just started a mentorship program under the ZNCC Women's Desk. We are actually officially launching that mentorship program tonight. We've got a gala dinner. We will be launching that mentorship program. We have already partnered 25 couples of mentees, the young women aspiring, and the mentors, the women that have achieved, that will be able to work together and grow each other.
That was Divine Ndlovula, the Deputy President of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce and also the ZNCC's Women Chair. She spoke with Mavelas Mtlanganyawiye from Harare.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe's top marathon runners are staring huge financial pickings in the face this weekend. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us how.
Over 2,000 of the country's top runners will be on show in the third edition of the 21-kilometer Paul Mutual Westgate Marathon to be run at its traditional venue on Sunday. Really, do we have a marathon event that attracts the best in the country that this race and the names of who will be on show is like who is who in Zimbabwean marathon running? The attraction is based on the huge financial rewards on offer, with the winners guaranteed of 3,000 and the runners up 1,500 and 1,000 respectively. These are the biggest cash prizes on offer on the Zimbabwean athletics calendar. And Grace Mukanana from the sponsors Old Mutual says all in all, they are putting 150,000 for the event.
The prizes are going to be covered under 30,000, with the top men and women walking away with 3,000 each.
Kelvin Pangiso and Constance Nyatango won the event last year, but Mukanana is of the view that they can be toppled.
We are wondering whether it will be Wirima Ejwau or Tendo Nyawora who are going to snatch the titles from the current holders.
Kazen Nyatango and Wirima Ejwau, who have been shortlisted for the 2016 Olympic Games, have confirmed their participation. So are Rutendo Nyahora, Faith Nyatango, Sharon Tawengwa, and Tabitha Sasa. There will also be an international flavor, according to Sebastian Garikai of the National Athletics Association of Zimbabwe.
We've got athletes from Kenya that have asked us about the dates and also have told us that they will be interested in participating.
The event has a large spectator value as people have numerous vantage points from where they can watch the competition, one of which is that they can watch the runners how fast towards the finishing post from the comfort of their verandas as the route passes through a residential area. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga, also wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.